Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. For this is the day that the Lord has made. Let us all rejoice and be glad in it. And welcome to Pray One for Another. I'm your host, Evangelist Hilder, sitting in for my pastor, Prophet R.D. Wiggins, who is the pastor of House of Manessa Christian Ministries. And we are a church beyond walls. I'd like to first of all take this time to thank you for tuning in. And this is Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lessons this evening in Talk Through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. You can also call in your prayer requests at that same number. Our motto comes from James chapter 5, verse 16, where it says, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that ye may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. To God be the glory. We are here to pray for you, with you, and right along beside you. To God be the glory. Let us pray. A Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given.
I'm not sure I understand.
I didn't say anything, Siri. Sorry. Thank you. Amen. To God be the glory. Again, a Thanksgiving prayer allows people to thank God for what they are given by God. A prayer of thanksgiving addresses a number of factors, including people, objects, life, food, shelter, nature, health, or weather. In daily life, people thank others for holding open a door, a gift received, or a meal shared. According to the Case for Christ Study Bible, Psalms 100 describes this prayer. Let us pray. Shout for joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with joyful songs. Know that the Lord is God. It is he who made us, and we are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good, and his love endureth forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. Amen, amen, and amen. At this time, I'd like to welcome in the Holy Spirit into the sanctuary, because we never like to start our broadcast or our service without inviting the Holy Spirit to come into the midst of it all. So Holy Spirit, you are welcome here by Francesca. Praise be to God.
There's nothing worth more that could ever come close. No thing can compare. You're our living hope. Your presence, Lord. I've tasted and seen of the sweetest of love, where my heart becomes free and my shame is undone. Your presence, Lord. Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come you
Amen. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Father God, we come this evening as humbly as we know how to give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. We thank you for waking us up this morning in our right minds, healing in our bodies. We thank you for life, for strength, health, wisdom, understanding. We thank you for all that you are doing and all that you're going to do, Lord God. We thank you for forgiving us for our sins, present, past, and future, Lord God. We thank you for loving on sinners like us, Lord God. We thank you for just adopting us as your children, Lord God. We thank you again, Lord God, for just being who you are, our Lord and Savior. We thank you for Jesus Christ that died on the cross for our sins, that we may have one day eternal life through him, Lord God. We thank you for the Holy Spirit that dwells within us to guide us in the way that you would have us to go, Lord God. And let your will be done in our lives. Not our will, but your will be done, Lord God. We ask that you heal those who need a healing and wrap your loving arms around them, Lord God, and comfort them and let them know everything is going to be all right, Lord God. We ask healing for our brother Jake, Lord God, that all of his tests come back negative, Lord God, for any problems, Lord God. We just ask you to touch him from the crown of his head to the soles of his feet, Lord God. Heal him in a mighty special way. Let your will be done in his life, Lord God. We ask all these blessings in the mighty name of your son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen, amen, and amen. To God be the glory. At this time, I will play another selection.
You don't know. Everybody open your mouth and worship the Lord. He's worthy of the glory. He deserves the praise today. Come on, everybody all over the room, open your mouth and worship Him. Lift your hands and bless Him in this place. Simple song.
Can we lift our hands together one time? My hallelujah belongs to you. Everybody, come on and come to the table.
My hallelujah belongs to you.
Father God, I just want to thank you for this ministry and vision. And I pray your Holy Spirit manifest the breakthrough of deliverance, healing, and salvation through all nine of his gifts, and that this prayer ministry grows in partnership, fellowship, and membership. In the mighty name of your Son, Jesus, we do pray. Amen, amen. And amen. Praise be to God.
Wonder the kind of clothes that he would wear. Is he tall or is he short? Does he like jazz or contact sports? And what would be his favorite TV show? Sometimes I wonder what he drive, or would he go green and ride a bike? These are all the questions I would want to know. What would he do to pass the day? Does he like to read? Does he like to play? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? If Jesus walked the earth today, sometimes I wonder what he'd say. Would he lend a hand to help his fellow man? Would he prioritize his day to get down on his knees and pray? Simply tell the Father thank you. And even with the 9-to-5, would it keep him from the house of God? 'Cause he's trying hard to gain a little more. Would he be afraid or too uptight, or just ashamed to share his life? Take a closer look and you will see. He looks like you. Jesus looks like you, he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? You're the hands and feet of Christ. If you want to know what he looks like you. So what will Jesus do? Some would ever see, and you're the only words of life some will ever read. So let them see in you the one in whom is all they'll ever need.
He looks like you. Jesus looks like you. He looks like you. Like you.
Praise be to God. And now it is time for our devotional message. Amen. Praise be to God. Which is entitled, Faithful in All. Praise God. And the scripture reading for this message is coming from Luke chapter 16, verse 10. And it says, he who is faithful in a very little thing is faithful also in much. Praise be to God. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. Amen. God can absolutely revolutionize your life, regardless of whether that means a change of career, location, relationships, or situation. The Lord can work supernaturally in your circumstances. However, you must be willing to do what he says in his timing and way. Are you willing to trust him wholeheartedly? Hymn writer John H. Sammis expressed it like this: trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus. Trust and obey. Amen. Let me add that there is no such thing as joy apart from Jesus. Without a right relationship with Christ, you will never have the contentment, peace, or assurance you were created for. Nothing else in this world can ever truly satisfy as he can. So to become a wholly surrendered disciple of Jesus, you must begin by obeying him in every aspect of your life. However small it may appear, unless you say yes to the seemingly little instructions from the Lord, you will never really know what your life can be. Excuse me, or what wonderful blessings can be yours. Why risk losing when you can be certain of winning? Obey God and leave the consequences to Him. Amen. I hope and pray that this devotional message is a blessing to you as it is to me. Let us pray. Jesus, I want to be obedient and faithful to you, even in the smallest things. Lead me in every way, my Lord. In your name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that is our devotional message for this evening. To God be the glory. Again, you are listening to Pray One for Another, Sweet Hour of Prayer, where we pray every Tuesday through Fridays from 6 p.m. to 7 p.m. And at 7 p.m. this evening, our very own Lady Nadine Wiggins will be here with our lesson this evening and talk through the Bible by Bruce Wickinson. So if you would like to join us, please feel free to dial in 319-527-6204. To God be the glory. And you can call in your prayer requests at that same number. At this time, I will play another selection, and I pray that you are enjoying our inspirational music. To God be the glory.
You thought I was worth saving, so you came and changed my life. You thought I was worth keeping, so you cleaned me up inside. You thought I was to die.
You came to change my life. You thought I was worth saving.
You thought I was a devil.
Jehovah, you are worthy of all praise and admiration. You are the God who made the heavens and the earth. You set the stars in their places and hung the moon where it was to remain. You rule over all, and yet you also seek a relationship with your creation. For that and much more, you are worthy of all praise and worship. I lift up your name, Jehovah, as I seek your face, and I honor you as you are seated on your throne above all. You are the great and mighty God who raises up kingdoms and subdues nations at your choosing. In your mercy, you sustain all life and passionately delight in our souls. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, amen, and amen.
Let's all hold hands, because he is worthy.
He is worthy. praise be to God. God of glory, you have revealed your glory in Jesus. He is the radiance of God of glory and the exact representation of your nature. Because of Jesus, I am able to come to your presence with unveiled face and behold the glory of the Lord. I praise you and adore you. Transform me into your image from one degree of glory to another. Your glory is so magnificent that heaven needs no sun or moon to shine on it. For you, God of glory, give it light, and the lamp is the Lamb of God, Jesus Christ. Amen, amen, and amen.
Oh, withholding nothing, withholding nothing.
Praise be to God. God of glory, you are a jealous God who will not share your glory with others. Forgive me for turning my eyes to humanity, thinking that this person or that person delivered me from a particular trial. Rather, it was you who used them to bring about your intended deliverance. Forgive my short-sightedness and not always seeing your glory through your creation, your works, your word, and your spirit. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God.
Where you at? I wanna know. where you at? I wanna know where you at. So where you at? So where you at? Never let you go. Where you at?
El Bethel, I know that you can do all things and that no purpose of yours can be thwarted. You have revealed your power and your strength in countless ways. The heavens tell of your glory. The skies display your marvelous craftsmanship. And day after day, they continue to speak. And at night, they make you known. They speak without a word, and their voice is silent in the sky. Yet, their message goes out to all of us on the earth. For since the creation of the world, your invisible attributes, your eternal power and divine nature, have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made. You have revealed yourself to all of us, El Bethel, and I give you praise for who you are. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and amen. Praise be to God. And that concludes our sweet hour of prayer. At this time, I will play two more selections, and after the selections, I will come back with a word. Unfortunately, our Lady Nadine could not be with us this evening, so I will be bringing a word this evening. Amen. Praise God.
Somebody's gonna walk out of here and go right into their inheritance. Come on, tell them what it is. Say it's yours.
It's yours. It's yours.
Ah.
It's yours in heaven.
Wave your hands as he knows you're going to go get it.
God, and after this selection, I will come back with a word from the Lord. Amen. To God be the glory. Amen. Praise be to God. Now, if you have your Bibles, I'd like for you to turn with me to the book of Matthew. That's in the middle of your Bible. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 27. And when you get to 27, we are going to read verses 45 through 56. Amen. And I am reading from the New Living Translation. Praise be to God. Again, Matthew chapter 27, verses 45 through 56. And it reads, at noon, darkness fell across the whole land until 3 o'clock. At about 3 o'clock, Jesus called out with a loud voice, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, which means, my God, why have you abandoned me? Some of the bystanders misunderstood and thought he was calling for the prophet Elijah. One of them ran and filled a sponge with sour wine, holding it up to him on a reed stick so he could drink. But the rest said, waiting. But the rest said, wait. Let's see whether Elijah comes to him. Then Jesus shouted out again, and he released his spirit. At that moment, the curtain in the sanctuary of the temple was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth shook, rocks split apart, and tombs opened. The bodies of many godly men and women who had died were raised from the dead. They left the cemetery after Jesus' resurrection, went into the holy city of Jerusalem, and appeared to many people. The Roman officer and the other soldiers at the crucifixion were terrified by the earthquake and all that had happened. They said, this man truly was the Son of God. And many women who had come from Galilee with Jesus to care for him were watching from a distance. Among them were Mary Magdalene, Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of James and John, the sons of Zebedee. Praise be to God. May the Lord richly add a blessing to the reading, hearing, and always the doing of his mighty word. Amen. So you see, we do not know how this darkness occurred, but it is clear that God caused it. Nature testified to the gravity of Jesus' death. While Jesus' friends and enemies alike fell silent in the encircling gloom, the darkness on that Friday afternoon was both physical and spiritual. Jesus was not questioning God. He was quoting the first line of Psalms 22, a deep expression of anguish he felt when he took on the sins of the world, which caused him to be separated from his Father. This was what Jesus dreaded as he prayed to God in the garden to take the cup from him in Matthew 26:39. The physical agony was horrible, but even worse was the period of spiritual separation from God. Jesus suffered this double death so that he would never have to experience eternal separation from God. The bystanders misinterpreted Jesus' words and thought he was calling for Elijah, because Elijah ascended into heaven without dying in 2 Kings 2 and 11. They thought he would return again to rescue them from great trouble in Malachi 4 and 5. After their annual Passover meal, each family set an extra place for Elijah in expectation of his return. Praise God. And when Jesus died, the temple had three main parts: the courts, the holy place where only the priests could enter, and the most holy place where only the high priest could enter, and only once a year to atone for the sins of the nation. In Leviticus 16, 1 through 35, the curtain separating the holy place from the most holy place was torn in two at Christ's death, symbolizing that the barrier between God and humanity was removed. Now all people are free to approach God because of Christ's sacrifice for our sins in Hebrews 9, 1 through 14 and 10, 19 through 22. So you see, Christ's death was accompanied by at least four miraculous events: darkness, the tearing in two of the curtain in the temple, an earthquake, and dead people rising from their tomb. Jesus' death, therefore, could not have gone unnoticed. Everyone knew something significant had happened. Amen? Praise be to God. Centrons represent the best of Roman men. They rose through ranks to become commanders over 100 men. Those who appeared in the New Testament are present as strong and good men, presented as strong and good men. This unnamed centron witnessed the lematic events connected with Jesus' death, probably at the arrest and the trial. We know he was at the cross. What he saw and heard had a profound effect on him. Just after the earthquake at Jesus' death, the centurion confessed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." He had become a man of faith in Jesus Christ. This is the confession that God wants to hear from each of us. If we look closely at this face of faith beneath the cross, perhaps we too can join him in his confession. Amen. Praise be to God. My text for this message is coming from Matthew 27 and verse 54. And it says, "Now, when the centurion and they that were with him watching Jesus saw the earthquake and those things that were done. They feared greatly, saying, truly, this was the Son of God. Amen. Praise be to God. And my title for this message is The Face of Faith, The Syntron. And my subtitle, The Syntron. Praise God. Tonight, my message is divided into two paragraphs. Praise be to God. And number one is the evidence of faith. This noble man changed his mind about Jesus in a relatively short time. He set out to help the Jews rid themselves of a nuisance, but soon confessed the nuisance to be none less than the Son of God. What is the evidence that changed his mind? Amen. The manner of Christ's suffering. Never had the Syntron seen one human being undergo so much abuse. He had been harassed, beaten, mocked, whipped, spat on, and now crucified. But not once did the victim ever lose his pulse or react in anger. Even as the soldiers nailed him to the cross, he was meek and submissive. The only words he spoke were a prayer, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Observing Jesus' behavior gave the Syntron a strange feeling. What kind of man was this? He asked. Surely he must be more than human. Praise God. Christ's love for his enemy. The crowd's hatred for Jesus was obvious. The people relentlessly hurled insults and accusations at Jesus even as he died. But he responded to their ridicule with love, gasping, "Father, forgive them." He was concerned about the welfare of the crowd who was crucifying him. What love Jesus' attitude impressed the Syntron and made him wonder about the judgment of the crowd and Pilate. How could someone with such love deserve to die? The natural phenomena. It was a strange day. Amen? It was a strange day. After Jesus had hung on the cross about 3 hours, darkness came over the land. Even though it was high noon, there was no sun to be seen. As the Syntron stood near the cross during the darkness, he heard Jesus exclaim, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? About 3 o'clock, Jesus died. At that time, the whole countryside began to shake with an earthquake. The centurion sensed that there was a connection between Jesus' death and the earthquake. Surely, he was not a criminal. The manner of Christ's death. The centurion had seen many deaths in the course of his duty. He knew that death by crucifixion followed a certain pattern. But Jesus' death was different. In his last moments, Jesus cried out, "It is finished," a shout of triumph. Then quietly he prayed again, "Father, into thy hands I commit my spirit." He died as though he were the one in charge. He died with a quiet trust in God. The evidence was, just too much for the Roman. He knew in his heart that this man was more than a man. So he exclaimed, "Truly, this was the Son of God." We have more evidence than the centurion because we know of the glorious resurrection and continued work of Jesus. Look at the evidence carefully, and it will lead to faith. The evidence of faith. We have 2 separate accounts of the centurion's confession. According to Luke, the centurion declared, "Certainly, this was a righteous man." And Matthew's reported that he confessed Jesus to be the Son of God. No doubt, both accounts are accurate. The act of confession. The centurion's confession itself reveals faith. His voice is the only voice we hear at the cross commending Jesus. It is one thing to have some impressions in your heart, but another thing to verbalize those impressions. True faith leads to confession. If you have never confessed, your faith is in question. The substance of the confession. What the centurion confessed is real evidence. He confessed the righteous character of Jesus, contradicting the judgment of the world. What a strong confession. The centurion also confessed the uniqueness of Christ. Truly, this was the Son of God. Scholars still debate how much the centurion actually understood and whether or not he meant to acknowledge the deity of Christ. Surely Matthew's included this account because he saw it as being the logical end of Jesus' life and death. both Matthew and Luke put it at the climax of the gospel story without trying to make a theologian out of the centron. Let's accept his confession for what it says. He had to come to believe in the uniqueness of Christ. He had to believe that Christ was the Son of Man, the Son of God, excuse me. That Christ was the Son of God. And give me a second. Amen. And one more thing is this. During the 3 hours which the darkness continued, Jesus was in agony, wrestling with powers of darkness and suffering his Father's displeasure against the sin of man, for which he was now making his soul an offering. Never were there 3 such hours since the day God created man upon the earth. Never such a dark and awful scene. It was the turning point of that great affair, man's redemption and salvation. Amen? Jesus uttered a complaint from Psalms 22:1. Hereby he teaches of what use the word of God is to direct us in prayer, and recommends the use of scripture expression in prayer. The believer may have tasted some drops of bitterness, but he can only form a very feeble idea of the greatness of Christ's suffering. And yet, hence he learns something of the Savior's love to sinners. Hence, he gets deeper conviction of the vileness and evil of sin and of what he owes to Christ who delivers him from the wrath to come. His enemies wickedly ridiculed his complaint. Many of the reproaches cast upon the word of God and of the people of God arise as here from gross mistakes Christ just before he expired spoke in his fullness, his full strength to show that hush. Spoke in his full strength to show that his life was not forced from him, but was freely delivered into his Father's hands. He had strength to bid defiance to the powers of death and to show that by the eternal Spirit he offered himself as the priest as well as the sacrifice, he cried with a loud voice. Then he yielded up the ghost, the Son of God, upon the cross, did die by the violence of the pain he was put to. His soul was separated from his body, and so his body was left really and truly dead. It was certain that Christ did die, for it was needful that he should die. He had undertaken to make himself an offering for sin, and this he did when he willingly gave up his life. The rending of the veil signified that Christ, by his death, opened the way to God. Amen. We have an open way through Christ to the throne of grace or mercy seat now and to the throne of glory hereafter. When we duly consider Christ's death, our hard and rocky hearts should be rent, the heart and not the garments. That heart is hardened than a rock, harder than a rock that will not yield. That will not melt. Where Jesus Christ is plainly set forth crucified. The graves were open, and many bodies of saints which slept arose, to whom they appeared, in what manner, and how they disappeared, we are not told. And we must not desire to be wise above what is written. The dreadful appearance of God in his providence sometimes worked strangely for the conviction and awakening of sinners. This was expressed in the terror that fell upon the centurion and the Roman soldiers. We may reflect with comfort on the abundant testimonies given to the character of Jesus and seeking to give no just cause of offense. We may leave it to the Lord to clear our characters. If we live to him, let us, with an eye of faith, behold Christ and him crucified, and be affected with that great love wherewith he loved us. But his friends could give no more than a look. They beheld him, but could not help him. Never were the horror, nature, and effects of sin so tremendously displayed as on that day when the beloved Son of the Father hung upon the cross, suffering for sin, the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Let us yield ourselves willingly to his service. Praise be to God. And as I bring this message to a close, I just want to say in my conclusion is this. Dr. Russell Bradley Jones tells about an old English farmer who went to London and visited one of the great art galleries in the city. There he was attracted by a painting of the crucifixion. He sat before it, studying each detail with intense interest. At last, forgetful of his surroundings, he cried out, "Bless him! I love him!" Others nearby, startled by his words, came to see what was wrong with the old man. From different parts of the gallery, they gathered around him. They saw the tears flowing down his bronze cheek. They, too, looked at the painting of the crucifixion. After a while, one man in the group, with tearful eyes, reached for the farmer's hand and said, "And I love him too." Then another and another and still another took the old man's hand until there was a sizable group of sobbing believers rejoicing in front of the painting of Christ's crucifixion and declaring, "We love him too." Will you join the centurion in his confession? "Truly, this man is the Son of God." I hope and pray that this message was a blessing to you as it is to me. To God be the glory. And if you, Chico, be quiet. Go in your bed and stop the noise. And if you have not accepted Christ as your personal Savior and you want to do so, now is the time. And all you have to do is to repeat this prayer of salvation after me. "Father, I know that I have sinned and fallen short of your grace and mercy. Lord, please have mercy on me. I am a sinner. Save me, deliver me, and set me free from all that hinders and binds me. Please help me to avoid sinning again. I believe that your Son, Jesus Christ, died for my sins, was resurrected from the dead, is alive, and he is my prayer. Jesus, become the Lord of my life to rule and reign in my heart from this day forward. I need your Holy Spirit to help me obey you and to do your will for the rest of my life. In Jesus' name, I pray." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. And if you have said that prayer and believe in your heart that Jesus died on the cross, rose from the dead, is alive, I now welcome you into the family of God. And the next thing you have to do is to find yourself a good Bible-based church. Amen? And my benediction is coming from Jude 24 and 25, where it says, "Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever." And let us all say, amen, amen, and amen. I want to thank each and every one of you for tuning in to another episode of Pray One for Another. May God bless you and heaven smile upon you till we meet again tomorrow at 6 p.m. when I will come with our sweet hour of prayer. And at 7 p.m., our very own Pastor Kathy Dubose from Led by God's Christian Ministry will be here to bless our hearts with a word from the Lord. So you don't want to miss this Holy Ghost-filled woman on fire for the Lord. Tune in at 7 p.m. when Pastor Kathy will bless us all with a word. Amen. So God bless you. Have a wonderful evening. Good night and shalom. God loves you. And we do too. Good night, everybody. Shalom.
thank you for tuning in. And if you'd like to be a blessing to this ministry, you can send your love gift offerings to Pray One for Another, P.O. Box 596, Bronx, New York, 10468.